I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. Vince McMahon's brash, aggressive management style helped the WWF, now known as WWE, fend off a well-funded challenge from Ted Turner's WCW back in the 1990s. For almost two decades after the end of that fight, WWE was the undisputed worldwide leader in what McMahon refers to as sports entertainment. But the wrestling industry was too lucrative to remain a one-horse town for long. Billionaire Tony Khan's new company, All Elite Wrestling, aims to do what Turner's WCW never quite could: become a sustainable, profitable, long-term alternative to WWE. So far, so good. All Elite Wrestling is routinely one of the top-rated shows on cable TV. They have big stars and deep pockets to wage a protracted war with the McMahon family. For more, we're talking with Matt McCarthy. He's a comedian, former writer for WWE, and the host of the We Watch Wrestling podcast. We'll talk about how WWE has grown even larger thanks to the explosion in TV rights fees, who's in line to succeed Vince McMahon at the top of the company, and if All Elite Wrestling poses a real threat to WWE's dominance. All that's coming up next. Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know, with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
Matt McCarthy, welcome to Business Wars.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Wow. You know, it's funny that we're talking about this issue. Let me just back up for a moment. I was talking with someone a little bit earlier, and I said, you know, I really like heavy metal music. And it's sometimes hard to explain to someone who doesn't get it why I love it so much. And I feel like people who are involved in wrestling have that same issue. You know, some people look right through it and they don't get it. Other people are completely obsessed with it. And I'm wondering, how do you talk to people at a party or people that you might meet? How do you explain what's going on with wrestling and people's passion for it?
Well, you know what they say, for those who don't love it, no explanation will do. And those who do love it, no explanation is needed.
Yeah, the Harley crowd has something like that. Yeah, if I had to explain it, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste. But my explanation is always very simply, it's about the pursuit of justice. That's what pro wrestling is about. That's what the appeal is. It's the little guy fighting against the big guy. It's the good guy fighting against the bad guy. It's this perfect world where we can actually live in a just world, you know, where there is justice. Plus, it's just, it's exciting. It's every form of entertainment at once, you know. I mean, it's athletics, it's theater, it's soap opera, it's blood and guts, it's comedy. I mean, it's just, there is room for everything in professional wrestling. It's theater without a fourth wall. That's what it really comes down to.
It almost sounds like comic books come to life in a sense, right? I mean, because you have the color, you have the drama, you talk about the soap opera factor, right? It's just something that people can kind of sink their psyche into.
Absolutely. And I think it helps being a writer, at least I found it to be such, because it's understanding pro wrestling is understanding storytelling.
Here you have WCW on top of the industry for a couple of years in the late 1990s. And for a minute, it seemed the WWF could go under. WCW had more money, bigger stars, and, of course, the full might of Ted Turner behind it, right? What went wrong, as you understand it?
Lots of things. But ultimately, there was mismanagement of money, no forward thinking creatively, no forward thinking in creating new stars. Because unlike comic books, pro wrestling, there is a finite lifespan to these wrestlers, you know. Captain America has been fighting the same bad guys since the 40s, same for Superman. Comic books, it's a mythology without an end. Pro wrestling, you have to create those new stars. It doesn't need to be complicated. Once you start getting tens of millions of dollars floating around with tens of millions of dollars worth of egos calling the shots, that greatly and gravely affects your product. So, I mean, the thing that WWF and now WWE has always had an advantage, for better or worse, is there's one guy making all the decisions. He has a lot of people around him. Vince McMahon has a lot of people around him, and he and whether the fans believe it or not, Vince will listen to everyone's opinion. So, all of those things at once, and then really what it came down to is they had Ted Turner behind them. Once Ted Turner wasn't the lone voice, you had people that were just business people looking at the bottom line, didn't quite understand, weren't too keen on there being wrestling on the station. And Ted said, as long as I'm in charge, I will always have wrestling on my channel. And he wasn't in charge anymore, and that kind of was the undoing of it all.
Well, when WCW went out of business, 3 million fans just stopped watching. And I guess the question is whether we're looking at something similar sort of happening in slow-mo today. I mean, there's an audience that will continue to watch WWE, lots of fan loyalty there. But given the dynamics, the business has changed now. You know, make money from TV rights. You don't rely as much on fans. You know, the biggest demo is over 50. And AEW has a much younger audience. So what do you think that you're looking at as you look at the industry right now?
After WCW closed, like you said, there were people that was wrestling to them. Mm-hmm. And once that show went off the air, they stopped watching. Vince kept doing Vince's show. And over the last really 20 years, there has been a independent scene in wrestling that has been much younger, much more exciting, that Vince has not had his finger on the pulse of. And that is 100% what AEW was born out of. I think Vince and maybe some other people might be a little more focused on the lapsed fan and the casual fan, whereas what AEW has latched onto is the new fan. Let's face it, folks, 2001 was 20 years ago.
Right.
And that is when WCW went out of business. So some 18-year-old kid, he doesn't care about WCW or WWF. And if he didn't grow up on like the John Cena stuff in the last, 15 years, this new product is what he thinks wrestling is. And like you said, I mean, WWE has a very loyal audience, but they are aging out.
Right. Yeah, success is never final. But at times, and correct me if you have a different take on this, it felt like Vince McMahon maybe didn't take WCW seriously as a competitor. I mean, he let big names like Hulk Hogan and Macho Man walk, the billionaire Ted sketches, lampooning Ted Turner, and sort of using his usual bravado in the media. That seems very different from the Vince McMahon that bought up the regional territories in the 1980s. Why do you think Vince seemed to sort of take his foot off the gas, if that's the right way to describe it?
He did, because he had such a head start. I think we're looking at history repeating itself. Whether he'll admit it publicly or not, I think he does view other companies, no matter how big they are, as competition. But I think he also can suffer from a case of hubris and think that he's far ahead and, well, we don't have to worry about those guys.
Yeah,
that we're not a wrestling company. We're an entertainment company. They're doing wrestling. It's like, well, Vince, unfortunately, wrestling fans like watching wrestling.
So. Right. You know, a lot of people focus on Vince, but what about Eric Bischoff? How do you see his role? I mean, the New World Order storyline, that was his brainchild. That supercharged WCW's TV ratings and merchandising revenue. Do you think he gets enough credit for the wrestling war? Does he get too much? How do you see it?
I think Bischoff probably gets the exact right amount of credit because he took some good ideas from New Japan Pro Wrestling, from Extreme Championship Wrestling. He played a little dirty against Vince. Sometimes Raw, the WWE show, would be taped. Eric would give away results on the show. So he was very smart, but he had no endgame other than, I'm in competition with Vince, and I want to put Vince out of business. And that's it.
So let's play a little game ourselves. If WCW had won the war instead of WWF, what do you think the wrestling industry would look like in 2021?
It's tough to say. I think there would probably be a lot more smaller groups because I think WCW probably would have put itself out of business as well. It's one of these things. Pro wrestling is an art that belongs to the people. You know, as much as Vince McMahon likes to think that it belongs to him, it doesn't. It belongs to the people who love it, who love to watch it, and who love it watching it so much that they actually become pro wrestlers. It's just one of these things that they just can't hold down, and it's always one of these things that will always have a very, you know, do-it-yourself attitude of, like, kids are like, we don't need your permission to be wrestlers. We can do this in our backyard.
Right.
I think that the playing field would actually probably be wider because I truly believe if WCW had won, it would have continued to implode. And then I don't know that it would go back to a regional thing, but it very well might have because in a lot of ways, the independent companies are just the territories all over again because they don't have national TV deals and they kind of exist onto themselves.
Taking the clock back just a bit, there's a kind of received wisdom, I guess, among people who really follow the wrestling industry that the wrestling war of the 1990s was a kind of golden age for the business and that WWE's product is actually better when they have competition. Now, you were a writer at WWE during a period of time after they purchased WCW, and they didn't really have much of a rival for market share. What was the feeling in the company during that time? Was there an inkling that maybe one day some billionaire might try to make a run at Vince, or what was the scene like?
Not internally, but I certainly was already going to a lot of really exciting indie shows and thinking, they're missing the boat on the cutting edge of wrestling right now. And I think internally, the feeling was a little stagnant. I mean, John Cena was on top. They hadn't created a lot of new stars to put against him or to take his place. And I remember somebody who had worked there for a long time even said that the way that the company was, and I'm talking about 2012, let's say, it really reminded him of around the time when WCW was starting to come around and start kicking their butt a little bit just because there was a shift that needed to happen in the creative direction of WWE that hadn't happened yet. And then the problem was, is there was no WCW to force their hand to go in that new direction. So, I mean, hopefully AEW does force Vince McMahon to rethink things, but the business is such that he's already making all the money he's going to make. They had, I mean, 2020 was a terrible year for a lot of people, but not Vince McMahon. It was the most profitable year they had ever had because the deals were already in place.
Right.
So his hands aren't tied to giving the fans what they want.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind. We're talking with Matt McCarthy. He's a comedian, former writer for WWE, and the host of the We Watch Wrestling podcast. What's this company going to look like eventually when Vince steps aside? And one assumes that's going to happen at some point. He might finally retire soon. His daughter Stephanie's taken on a bigger role as a company spokesperson. You got a new president and chief revenue officer, Nick Khan. He's been said to have become a big voice behind the scenes, perhaps being groomed to replace Vince as CEO.
I don't know if Vince is a member of the NRA, but I'm sure he's familiar with the phrase, "From my cold, dead hands." I see that being the only way that Vince will step down is if he is stepping down into his coffin. But when that does happen, I got to assume that Triple H, Paul Levesque, his son-in-law, Stephanie's husband, will take over the creative side of things. And like you mentioned, Nick Khan, he's very, you know, I've heard good things. You know, he runs the investor calls. He seems to know what he's doing. Perhaps he will take the business side of things. And I think Stephanie might be the public face of the company. But I don't know. I think that Vince's ego is so big, he wouldn't want somebody to run it after he's gone. Mm. And he might just have something in place where it's like, look, once I'm gone, the company sells to whatever media conglomerate we can get the best deal from.
Just blow it up?
And then, well, whether he's conscious of it or not, I could see Vince having that level of an ego as if to say, no one is able to do this but me. And once I'm gone, the company, I will, so help me God, bring it into the gates of hell with me. You know?
I want to think, sort of fast forward, 2019, someone finally did decide to enter the ring and challenge WWE. We're talking about Tony Khan, son of billionaire Shad Khan, no relation to Nick. It was the launch of All Elite Wrestling, and it has, I think it's probably safe to say, rocked the entire industry. There was a lot of skepticism at first, but AEW draws millions of fans to their weekly TV broadcast on TNT. And, of course, no one needs reminding, that's the same network that canceled WCW and wrote their death sentence. Is AEW broadening the wrestling audience, do you think, or are they maybe picking up disgruntled WCW fans who don't care for WWE's, shall we say, less realistic product?
They might be. I think really what they're doing is they're creating new fans. And the thing that's very interesting with AEW, especially their ratings, they have a lot more households with non-fans that will watch with existing fans, which is, I think my assumption would be that's because, you know, say it's a husband and a wife, and the wife's like, oh God, he's got wrestling on again. Husband says, no, this is different. You might like this. And they sit down and watch, and they're like, oh yeah, this isn't like that other wrestling show. You're right. It's much more action-driven. It's much much faster paced, yet longer matches. There's a little bit more consistency to the stories and to the payoffs, even the look of it. The way that the cameras present the show, the way that the camera work in, and it's not because of untalented camera people at WWE, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. The direction they have chosen of some of these things that they do, a lot of the shaking of the camera, a lot of unnecessary zooming in on things, it's almost nauseating at times. AEW does none of that.
At the same time, though, AEW, they don't have writers on staff, right? I mean, Khan apparently, or at least allegedly, does all the writing himself. And I wonder if that's a positive or negative for this product.
So far, it's been a positive.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been a few talking segments on AEW that have meandered that probably could benefit from a script. But I think having a script isn't the problem in and of itself. The problem is that there's no wiggle room when you get a script from Vince. Mm-hmm. Vince is like, no, this is who you are. This is how you say it. Vince is willing to collaborate, but at the end of the day, it's going to be his decision. And if he doesn't agree with you, even if you're talent, you're going to go out there and say what Vince wants you to say, or you might be out of a job. Or even worse, you might still have a job and Vince won't like you.
So it's not like these creative types are behind the scenes moving and shaking things anyway, is what it sounds like you're saying.
No. It's like any other TV writing job. The showrunner makes the calls. Vince is the showrunner. You know, you can pitch 1,000 terrific jokes, but if Vince doesn't want to hear it, it's no different than if, you know, when Mark Brazil was running That 70s Show or whoever, you know what I mean?
So far, do you think AEW has learned any lessons from the death of WCW, or are they repeating some of their mistakes, or is just everything green light over at AEW?
No, I think that Tony has very much learned from the death of WCW. I think Tony's also learned from being a fan and being a fan of what wrestling is, especially over the last 20 years. It's just so many people, they hear wrestling and they think WWE, whereas a fan who can get to discover that there's a lot of different things that are pro wrestling, mm-hmm. you know? It'd be like if Baskin Robbins was like, we have chocolate and vanilla. it's just there are so many flavors out there that are just not being offered up. So I think that it seems like Tony is a student of both on-screen and off-screen. And so far, as a fan, I've very much enjoyed a lot of the decisions he's made.
Well, you know, this pandemic has forced both WWE and AEW to suspend live event touring, and that's cost them significant sources of income. And you were talking about earlier how WWE had a little coasting power because they had the contracts in place and all that. And so you have that saving grace there. Even though AEW is one of the top TV series on cable every week, the revenue isn't anywhere close to WWE. They have those deals with Fox and Comcast, Universal, billions of dollars in revenue over the next few years. AEW's TV deal with Warner Media is up in a little over 2 years. I wonder, do you think it's possible they could maybe get somewhere close to WWE's mega dollars once they have to renegotiate that contract, or no?
I don't know. Maybe, but I don't know. I think Vince is the established product. When they hear wrestling, they think WWE, so they think Vince.
Yeah.
And Vince has done a very good job portraying himself as the only one who knows how to do this. I think also what helps WWE is they got into the streaming thing before anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They had their own network, and they have 100,000 plus hours of content. That's the kind of library that a company that wants to get into streaming would salivate at.
Sure.
So if Tony Khan, I mean, this is pure speculation, but if he wanted to start buying up libraries of smaller independent companies, maybe places that some of his top wrestlers came from, that would be interesting, and it'd be a way to broaden things. But Vince has a huge head start, and that's the bottom line. I don't know what AEW can do to start matching that, but look, I mean, it's a ratings game, and if all of a sudden Tony starts getting the younger, richer demographic to watch his show, then he's got a license to print money. If they somehow step into the next hot star, you know, your next Stone Cold or your Dwayne Johnson, mm-hmm. well, then the gloves are off.
How did you get into this, by the way, Matt?
Into wrestling?
Yeah.
It's some of my earliest memories are being in... I was definitely too old to be in a crib, but like I remember, that's my memory of that. There was a railing at least on the bed and sitting up, and my older brother had the TV on and he said, Matt, look, it's wrestling. And it's just been a love affair ever since. Maybe once I hit high school, I was like, oh, I should put this away for a little while. And then by the end of high school, it had blown up again. And then I never looked back. Nothing has grabbed my attention more by leaps and bounds.
We've been talking with comedian and former WWE writer Matt McCarthy. You can hear him every week on the We Watch Wrestling podcast, wherever fine podcasts are served. Matt, thanks so much for joining us on Business Wars.
Hey, thanks for having me. I had a real good time.
On our next episode, tech industry titans battle it out to determine who will control the rapidly expanding but volatile food delivery app business. From Wondery, this is episode 7 of WWF versus WCW for Business Wars. Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey. I'm your host, David Brown. Lori Galloretta produced this episode. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Edited and produced by Emily Frost. Sound designed by Kyle Randall. Our associate producer is Kate Young. Dave Schilling is our producer. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer-Beckman and Marshall Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.